All right, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning, and we would that you would turn your Bibles to the book of John in chapter 7, verse 1. We want to talk and try to teach from God's Word some things this morning that all of us a lot of times are not aware of. And I've been trying to study some this week on, there's a book that we've got several books from. And this guy by the name of Daniel is writing this, and it's on the King James Version versus the other Bibles that are being sold, and some of them are and he shows us and he gives scripture on it. They are leaving out single words. Mm-hmm. They are leaving out whole verses, and I got two places that I would like to comment on this morning, and the first one is in the book of John in chapter 7, and these things that I'm going to, with the help of the Lord, and I've asked Him to, it's in His hands, but and anybody that's not here that's listening out in the radio land, wherever, pay attention to this because there's so many people that are studying using Bibles that have false statements in them, right, and they don't have the Word of God in them completely. So, and Jesus, as He was living here upon this earth, He kept every jot and every tittle of the law. It was important that He done it all. And it's the most important thing that we can have is to have a Bible that has every word of God in it. Amen. And this morning, regardless of what people want to pick and look at in the King James Version, I believe that it's the Bible that I want to study. I believe it's the truth of God's Word. And I believe that God inspired man to write this. And I believe that if He is able to, and He was able to inspire man, that He is able to keep it.
Amen.
And there was a period of time when this Bible was so persecuted that it was kept in homes and they tried to destroy every one of these Bibles in order to put their own Bible out. And so we hope this morning that what we say will but not be confusing. We hope that this morning that the Lord will bless this and He will help each one that hears this. So in John chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For He would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto Him, Depart hence and go into Judah, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in Him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. So now this is one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about this morning, and there's one little word in here, one word that is left out. And the writer gave, I think it was 25 or 30 different Bibles that was recorded that's out there calling themselves a Bible that don't have this word in there. Now the word is yet. Yet. So now listen to me as we try to get into this. Now, first of all, he was walking in Galilee because he knew that they had a great desire to kill him. And so he stayed away from this Judah or Jerusalem. And so he says here, this notice this now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now, I want you to listen to me, and you don't have to turn over there, but I want to read something to you in Leviticus 23:33. Leviticus 23:33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for seven days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Now, we know this by, and what we wanted to make sure that you understood this morning was, in verse 33, and the Lord spake unto Moses. So this was a law. This was something that Moses told the children of Israel, you will do this. So now we see that Jesus is here, and his brethren is saying, hey, let's go up. Now, it was a law, remember, and Jesus did not break any of the law.
Amen.
Now, notice. Now, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judah, that thy disciples also may see the work that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to know openly. Now, notice what they said. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now, who said something similar to this to Jesus? You remember when the devil tempted Jesus? He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And so here these brethren are saying, they have not seen these miracles that Jesus is doing. And so they say, if you do these miracles, why don't you go on up there and show yourself? And he knew that there was people waiting up there to kill him. But now notice, for in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. They were mocking him. They were ridiculing him. So then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. He's saying to them, my time, and when he says this, you remember the wedding feast when they run out of wine, and his mother said, they have no wine? And he says, my time has not yet come. Talking about his death on the cross. Here he's talking about the same thing. Jesus had a certain time that he had to die. It was already predestinated for him to die on a certain time. And this is what he's saying. My time has not yet come. And so what he said was, my time is not yet come, but your time has already come. So you can go on up and you'll be all right. And so he says here, the world cannot hate you, but it hateth me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. Now here, listen, I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. They removed this word yet out of all of these Bibles, revised versions, and all of these, and it started even back in Vulgate, and when the Romans was trying to eliminate all of God's Word. And so they have eliminated this word yet. So now you see the predicament that that has come up, and if as the world would look at it, now if Jesus don't go up, He's broke the law of Moses, making the Bible a liar because he kept every jot and every tittle of the way. So then, if he goes up, they'll kill him. But he said here, it's not time. So when he, in verse 9, and when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So then when he goes up, the brother sees him. And they say, well, he hasn't broke the law of Moses. He's here, but he lied to us. He said he wasn't coming up. But you see what the little word yet,
right,
what it does? It changes the whole, it changes the whole meaning of the whole verse there, the thing. But you see the, you see what happens when one little word is left out.
Right.
And how much controversy and how much difference it makes. And so this is the thing. We, as God's people, we need to stand for the King James Version.
Amen.
We need to be bold about it. We don't need to back off and say, hey, these other versions is all right and they can leave what they want. But listen, these leaving out these words, hey, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make a Bible for that all the world can agree.
Right.
Now, if you've got a Bible, and listen, we've got an Antichrist that's on the way, and he's not far off. And listen, he's going to get involved in this thing of defeating the King James Version if he can.
Mm-hmm.
And so this morning, we need to be on our keep a close eye on this and not let anything slip into the church that will interfere with it. And you can let these people out here nitpick it, pinhole it, whatever they want to, and they can make their own remarks about what's happened years and years ago or whatever. But listen, I believe this morning that I give my soul to Jesus Christ and to God, and I believe that He's able to keep that which I've given to Him. And I believe this morning that God's Word is true. I believe this is the true Word of God here, and I believe that He is able to let this Bible be the same as it was 1,000 years ago or whenever it was penned down by the apostles. I believe that He's able because,
amen,
listen, He is King of King and Lord of Lord, and He's over all.
Amen.
And so, people, we have no reason to listen to some of this silly talks and these silly letters and all of this mess that's coming out on the airways and in letters and things and nitpicking at God's Word because, listen, it's of the devil. Regardless of who it is, listen, the devil is using them. And so we just do not need to hear this. Now, here again in verse 10, listen. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up at the feast, not openly, but as it was in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he's a good man, others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So we see here that there was nobody really settled on what Jesus stood for. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And so this is God's doctrine. This is the one that you're depending on your soul to escape hell. This is the one that done this. This is the one you're trusting in. So this morning, I would say to you this morning, that you need to trust God's Word.
Amen.
And listen, if you get some of these other revisions, listen, they may be a comfort to you, but listen, they're going to be a hurt to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you accept this mess like they're writing it out, hey, you're hurting. Now, I got one other place I want you to turn to in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts in chapter 8. And this is concerning the eunuch in chapter 7, in Acts 8, I'm sorry, 8:26. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now we see this Ethiopian eunuch was very, very intelligent. I'm sure he was, because we see him here sitting in the chariot reading. We see that he has all of this authority over this queen's estate. And so there was nothing dumb about him. There was nothing wrong with his understanding.
Amen.
But we see here, and in verse 27, in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Well, I've done read this. But look in verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So he was reading the Old Testament. He had acquired an Old Testament. And those were not like that you can send off today and get you a box full for $25. They were hard to come by. They were scarce because they were handwritten, and they were scarce. But he was of enough money and wealth that he obtained him one. Now, then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, why was it that he wasn't understanding it? He should be able to go up to the temple and hear the prophets or the ones tell about it. But now listen, he couldn't do this. I want to show you something, and I never had thought about this. I've read it, but I never had thought about it that much. But in Leviticus, we're going to see something about a eunuch. In chapter 23, Leviticus 23:34. Now here's Moses again talking. It's the law. But he says, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first, well, I'm wrong. Wait just a minute. Let me back up. I'm reading the wrong one. All right. I've read wrong. It's Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy. I've got these crossed up. But in Deuteronomy 23:1. I'll get this all straight, people. Bear with me. Notice, in verse 1, He that is wounded in the stones. Now, you know what the stones are. It's the private parts of a man. Notice, or hath his private members cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So now this man was a eunuch, and that qualifies, that's what a eunuch is.
Right.
And some of them were done, and it speaks of by man, and some of them were done because they wanted to be. Now, the reason why that they were done this way was the kings and the bigwigs, when they would go off to fight, would leave the eunuch in charge of their possessions, and all the women folks were there. And the women would be safe, and so that's what was wrong. That's why a eunuch was like he was.
Right.
Now, he was not allowed to go into the temple. He was not allowed to go in there because he was a eunuch. Now, what is it about that? The Bible says for a man to bear fruit, raise children. Well, he couldn't. And so this kept him from going into the tabernacle and hearing the Word of God preached. And this is why that he said here, how can I understand unless somebody tells me? You see? And so this is what we want to see now. So in verse 32, this is where he read. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Now here's where that they cut her out. This is where they cut her out, right here. Now notice. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
They took these two verses out. They've taken them out of all of these revised versions. Now, why they did this was because the Romans and the Catholics now, they practice, and other churches that follow them, infant baptism. Now, you can't find no other place in the Bible. Now, you know, when Lydia and her whole house was baptized, some want to use that as saying, well, they may have baptized babies. But it's not for sure. But here, Philip tells the eunuch, and he tells us, and he tells everybody, who can be baptized.
Amen.
Now, a baby can't be baptized. It can be baptized, but listen, he don't understand. A baby does not understand what's going on. And here he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So now there's got to be a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He is your Savior before you can be baptized. And be baptized with any authority. And so, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And so, he baptized him because, first of all, the eunuch, he had never heard no preaching. And he had got a good education, and he could read. But the thing of it is, God's Word sometimes has to be told to you what it means by others before that God has inspired them to understand it. And so this was the case with the eunuch. And he had not understood Isaiah 40, I believe it is, where that when he talks about this. And so this is why God sent Philip down there to tell him this. And also this morning, thank God, he's had this wrote down to eliminate this infant baptism.
Amen.
It's not in God's Word, but what they did do, they said, hey, we can't have this. Because listen, the priest has all this authority to baptize this baby and keep this baby from going to hell. And you see what that leads to. Right. Baptism don't do a thing in this world for salvation. But the priest gets all the honor and the glory.
Right.
You see. And so this is why this morning when I heard about this, Diane sat down on the computer and she wrote and ordered these books. And listen, people, it's just chug full of stuff that we need to know.
Amen.
And so this morning, I hope that these two things here that I've tried to teach on would help you some. And listen, I want to get some of these revised versions, and I want to look at them, and I want to bring them to church and let you hear and see what they're putting in there.
Amen.
Because listen, we need to know about it.
You're right.
We just definitely need to know about it. And you talking about holding up for the King James Version. Listen, this is enough right here if we never teach nothing else. This is enough to exalt the King James Version and praise the Lord for letting us have this King James
Amen.
Version Bible.
Amen.
So, this is our lesson for this morning, and I hope that what I've said will be a help to you and an interest to you, and it'll give you a desire to read and study, and if we can get some of these other Bibles, I think there's about 30 different Bibles that's wrote that's got all of this stuff taken out of it, words and phrases and things. And the thing of it was, see, when they take this out, they would put it down here in the little notes down on the bottom, but nobody don't read that. And the thing of it is, if it's down here in the notes and you're reading it and you believe this is God's Word and this is man's, hey, you're not going to pay no attention to it anyway, see. And so that's what they did, and that's going on today, and it's going on more so now. And I'm sure that the King James Version is under the eyeglass of every hypocrite and everyone that wants to change it. And they going over it letter for letter and suggesting we'll use this phrase instead of that phrase. Just like, you know, and everybody knows about Mary and they called her a young woman, you know, instead of a virgin. And so, listen, what does that tell you? That tells you that a lot of this stuff is just pure hogwash.
Amen.
And we don't need to hear it, but we do need to say this. Thank the Lord for the King James Version Bible.
Amen.
See? So that's our lesson for today. Thank you all very much.